Good morning and Happy New Year. I have some show and tell. That's why I'm back here at the lectern for a moment. So our theme this year is based on this book by Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker, one of the greats, called 365 Days of Richer Living. This is a wonderful way to start and end your day because every day is filled with deep ideas to ponder, deep ideas to contemplate and to move you forward in not necessarily your spiritual path, but your awareness of who you are. It is a wonderful book, so that there's no room to write in it. It's pretty well full every day. So you have to have your own writing journal to go along with it, and I know you can do that. This is 365 Days of Richer Living. What I decided to do this year is every month I'm devoting to one of the contributing people of metaphysics, one of the authors that has made a difference. And so we're starting with, of course, our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, and with what many, many churches have done for many, many years is start with something called Back to the basics of the science of mind, the basics of our teaching, the why, what we have in common, who we are, our identity spiritually, our spiritual identity. And so it's based on the first four, these 4 weeks are based on the first four chapters of the book that we call the textbook. Mine is 30 years old. I just realized over the weekend I had brunch with my mentor and first teacher, Sue Rubin, and she reminded me that it was 30 years ago this year, 2015, that she came to Edmonton as this little California girl who knew nothing of the cold and taught there for 10 years. This was my book. I taught from this book that I took from, and it's, yeah, you see, it's not in great condition, but the reason I don't part with it is on the pages, there's so many little notes to myself. First time ever, because as a teacher and as a student before metaphysics, I never wrote in books, ever. It was almost like a sin to write in books. And then I saw my teacher, and so I started to highlight in books and write in books. And I have so many gems written in this book that, of course, I cannot part with it. It isn't usually the one that I use now. But I wanted to bring it with me this morning. So my teacher and her teacher, Dr. Tom Johnson, and his teacher, Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, are all here in the room with us. It's the spiritual heritage that we have here this morning, that all of the things that we have learned, that we've gleaned from our teachers. So this first chapter of the textbook, as the slide says, is called The Thing Itself. I just wanted to say a little bit more. This is the original textbook. You notice it's not as big as the textbook. This was the original one published in 1926. It doesn't have the first four chapters. What it does have is a lot of annotations that the textbook doesn't have, and we have a wonderful person named Margot Rourke who's created a book that brings all of those annotations in, so you know who, when he's got quotes around, you know who Dr. Holmes is quoting now, which is great. But this was the original textbook, and I want to tell you this because we are a philosophy, a way of life, a religion that's based on teaching. For the first 10 years of Ernest's ministry, he refused to have a church. He said, no, 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 this is something that people can learn from. They can take back into their churches. And for the first 10 years, there was an Institute of Religious Science that taught the science of mind. So we're based on teaching. But the people begged him and said, Dr. Holmes, we're going to our churches, and the minister's calling us sinners and telling us that we're bad and awful, and that, and we come here and you tell, lift us up and say that we're good and great. We don't want to go to be told that we're bad and sinful. So eventually, he said, yes, okay, we can become a religion and become a church. So the Centers for Spiritual Living, the history is that before we were Centers for Spiritual Living, we were the Church of Religious Science. And we were one church at the beginning. And then we were two churches. And then we integrated and became one again. Now we're Centers for Spiritual Living. And there are about 450 of us throughout the world. 450 individual centers, some really big, some really small, some medium-sized, all of them teaching the very same thing. The very same principles are being taught everywhere. And many of us, not all, but many of us start January this way to get back to the basics. So the thing itself. I tested this. So I know it's working. Ernest calls it the thing itself. And here's the what I want you to know is that everything, and I've said this before, whether you're reading the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita or any other book, that science of mind, you have to be able to apply it to yourself. It's meaningless if it's just an interesting ideas. It has to be something you can say, oh, I can take that. I can grab it. I can apply this to me. And the oracle at Delphi, that was what was inscribed there. Know thyself. Socrates said, to thine own self be true. This is a theme, you see. Know thyself. And what we're saying is, when we know ourselves, when we know that we're made in the image and likeness of the thing itself, which is pure spirit, which is another name for God, that is perfect love, that is perfect law, what we come to know is that we're magnificent. What we come to know is that we are unlimited. What we come to know is that we are the ones that are here to make a difference. We're here on purpose, making a difference. So it's about knowing ourselves and knowing the basic ideas of this philosophy. Again, and once more, it's on. Okay, one of the words that Ernest used to describe the thing itself, and I particularly like this word, is first cause. I like it because that's what it is. It is the thing that starts everything in motion. It's the first cause. So you can look at everything from the natural universe and say, what brought it to being in the first place? What created it? There was some cause behind everything that's visible. There's some invisible causation. And that cause is God, the thing itself. That cause is an idea in the universe and in the individual. So, and I love this, first cause. It reminds me, when I'm in the muck and mire of things, as Emerson says, still something sings, because that first cause, it is going on at the invisible realm. It's never God that's out of alignment. It's always going to be something about our thinking, our lack of awareness of our oneness with that presence, with that source. And the next one, spirit. So another word for God is spirit, and spirit is that conscious chooser, the divine mind that says yes to this idea, yes to that idea. It reminds me of a story about a mother superior. And this mother superior was beloved. She was a good woman, kind, and wise. And she was dying. And so all of her nuns were looking after her, and they were all gathered around her as she was dying. And they said, Mother, is there anything we can get you to make you more comfortable? And she said, yes, I'd like a cup of milk, and I'd like it warmed. And they said, okay. One nun went to the kitchen, and she saw, besides the milk, that there was a bottle of whiskey that had never even been opened. So she thought, this would be a sweet thing to do, is just give a little bit of whiskey in the milk. It'll make her feel better. So she poured in a little, and then she thought about it. She poured in some more. So there was quite a bit of whiskey in the milk. So anyway, Mother Superior took a sip of milk when it was brought to her. She took another sip. And a few more sips, and then she finished off the whole cup. And the nuns gathered closer because she was so weak she could hardly talk. They said, "Mother, what words of wisdom do you have for us? What is it that we should know?" And she points toward the outside, toward the window. I said, "What is it, Mother? What is it?" "Don't sell that cow." And actually, that's a great story because that extra juice that is spirit in us, that not those kind of spirits that whiskey is, but the spirit in us. Don't sell the cow. Don't go looking for something somewhere else. It's right here. It's where you are. It's inside you. You're already magnificent. You're already spiritual. You don't have to do a thing to be more God. Simply uncover and release all of the lies you've told yourself that aren't true about you. Okay, and the next one. Another word for the thing itself is mind. And mind means divine mind. It means, and this is actually really important to our science, that there are two ways that God is always operating through us. One is through intuition. And that idea that comes to us through intuition is part of the mind that we call objective or spirit. Objective mind. It's the one that thinks and knows that it thinks. It's the one that plants the seeds of thought that you want to be planting for your new year. The other part of mind, the subjective part of mind, the invisible, the servant of the conscious mind, is the law. It's the thing that brings everything about. It's the thing that makes things so. So they're equally important. You can't have one without the other. But we can be unaware of either one. And in that lack of awareness, we can be sowing all kinds of pitiful thoughts, all kinds of blaming thoughts or victim thoughts. And in so doing, what we're planting into that divine mind is something that we do not want. I actually think Mary's changing the slides for me because this is not working so well. So next slide, please, Mary. I think it has to do with my energy when you're here, because before service, I tried it and it worked. I give up, God, it's up to you, you do it. So another synonym for the divine is the invisible essence. The invisible essence. And in our meditation this morning, I had people make welcome that presence. Make it welcome. It's a hard thing to imagine what is infinite. You can't get a picture for it. You can get a picture for a lot, right? You can get a picture for a great many. But infinity itself, you can't picture. Presence is also very difficult to picture. But you can take something that you cherish, and it can be a religious icon. You can take the picture that you have of Jesus or of the Buddha, or of Kuan Yin, one of my favorites, or any other being, or just love itself. But you see, even love itself, there's not a picture for it. And in order to really drop it into your consciousness and make it yours, it's good to have a picture. It's good to have a picture. I'm looking at Mary and realizing that Mary had a near-death experience. She knows what that light is like. That was many years ago. So you can picture light, but not all of us can do that. Not all of us have had that personal experience of the one. But when you have had it, you do know what it is. What it is. Touch your heart right now. Just feel it. Feel it beating. This is God's heart. Repeat after me. I am the heart of God.
I am the heart of God.
The life of God lives in me.
The life of God lives in me.
It is magnificent.
It is magnificent.
I am magnificent. Okay. Now, take your hand and just move around like this. Do you feel anything? You feel something, don't you? And you might call it air. But what you're really feeling is divine substance. Holmes, throughout the textbooks, talks about divine substance. That's it. The very air itself is alive and vibrant with life. Okay, now take your hand like this and blow on it. That's the breath of God you've just felt. That is the breath of God you just felt. The thing itself is breathing you. You don't have to remind yourself. It's breathing you all the time. Okay, next slide, please, Mary. Oh, go back. It's just so, now just a minute here. I'm going to make a declaration about this. I am very good with this, and it always works for me. I'm very good with this, and always for, thank you. Okay. Universal principle. It's a universal principle that what we believe, what our consciousness is, what our greatest beliefs are, manifest as our experiences, become the things that we're living, become our experience, become our relationships, become our truth. And that works whether it's something you want or something that you are trying to keep away. When you're trying to keep it away and you continuously plant it in divine mind, you're just saying, okay, God, I guess I am an addict. Okay, God, I guess I am poor. Okay, God, I guess, see, or you can say, okay, God, I'm free. I'm so free to choose. I choose wisely all my life. I'm in choice. It's up to you what kind of ideas you're planting in that divine mind. First and foremost, plant ideas that has this in mind. God is in us, through us, and around us, and for us. This isn't just a benevolent something. This is something that is for you. It wants you to thrive. God wants you to thrive. The thing itself wants to thrive by means of you. And can only do it if you cooperate by thinking the right thoughts, having the right speech, being that one. Ernest Holmes said this in 1958, 2 years before he died. He said, the religion of the future will appear when religion gets over its superstition, science gets over its materialism, and philosophy gets over its duality. And here's what I know. First of all, how brilliant. And today, when I turn on Joel Osteen, I hear, up until the prayer call, the call to the altar, I hear science of mind. I hear him speaking the science of mind, plant ideas. For instance, he tells this story about his brother-in-law who wanted to have a child, and they went through all of the fertility things. And they kept saying, but we see ourselves as parents. And then they got a gift from Huggies of two little diapers, newborn diapers. And they put them on their bedside table. And twins ran in their family. So they thought, well, we could have twins. But all of the tests were negative. But they kept seeing themselves as parents. And they left those Huggies on their bedside table. And then, out of the blue, someone called and said, we have a young woman who is going to deliver, and we're thinking that you might be the good parents. And they were thrilled. And oh, by the way, she's giving birth to twins. Would you take two? Would they take two? They'd been thinking about two all of these years, had two little diapers on the bedside table, and now there was an opportunity to be parents to twins. You see, that's simply how you plant that idea. You plant it, you visualize it, you take some sort of action, bring the little diapers in, remind yourself that there's something that's going on good here, and then And then take the next indicated step, the next thing that you're to do that day. It may or may not feel like it's in alignment with your dream. It's just now. Now you're just in the beingness. Now you're just in the place where you say yes to whatever life is showing you. Next slide, please, Mary. And one of the ways I handle it is to say, next slide, please, Mary. Okay, so there's some things that we could do with these ideas. Realize your spiritual life, that you are more than a body. You're not a body with a soul. You are a spirit manifesting a body, manifesting friendships. Your life is spiritual already. It's already spiritual, whether you know it or not. I have a dear friend who's going through hell and continues to go through hell, and she's putting herself there. It's so evident to me. She's putting herself there in what she's thinking, what she's choosing, and it's heartbreaking. If I were able, I'd shake her to wake up, but I don't think she'd wake up. She's very jealous of her husband, and he's doing nothing to make her jealous. She's making up a story in her mind, and that story is now producing very negative effects, to the point even that she may have legal consequences of her bad choices. So realize you're already spiritual. You're already spiritual. What I know about that person and every other person who's going through a challenge right now, this moment, you can choose to be a new you. Not at the end of January or at the end of September. Now, right now, you can choose to be a new you. You can choose to feel that spiritual truth of you. You can choose to move forward in with conviction that you are living a spiritual life. And life, God, is responding to you. Next slide, please. Realize your spiritual connection. In other words, I know this sounds like harping, but get quiet every day. Listen. Listen, listen, listen to God in you, speaking through you, to you. Listen to that voice. It might sound like your conscience. It might show up if you're journal writing or just in the stillness, when you get still enough. There's this voice that guides you. That's your spiritual connection. And it's always guiding you. Has always been. You know, there were many years. So that was 1985. Up until 3 years earlier, I considered myself an atheist or agnostic at best. I really thought religion was an opiate of the people, as Karl Marx said. And then I had proof, right? Then I saw how people were foolishly following the ideas of someone else. And then I had the experience of the presence of God. And yes, I was embarrassed. You're absolutely right. Yes, I was embarrassed because I'd been telling everyone there's nothing to this. And now they're all looking at me, did she lose it? Has she gone a little crazy on us? And no, I hadn't been clearer in my life. I had such a great, clear awareness of the presence and power of God and what that meant and the possibilities that lay ahead. And to think that was 32 years ago absolutely blows my mind. How could that be? But it is. Okay, and the next slide, Mary. The next one. Oh, go back one. Yeah, thank you. Realize your spiritual power. So back to my friend who's hurting herself by her stinking thinking. Your spiritual power is, you already have all of it. And it doesn't matter if you're a teen in our teen group or if you're a mature adult having studied this for over 30 years or so. It doesn't matter who you are. Your spiritual power is infinite. So if you think of the most powerful thing you can think of, right within you, you have more than that. because whatever you can imagine, the bolt of lightning that struck Danny and Brinkley twice, it's nothing to what you've got inside you. You've already got it. Next slide, please. This is the thing itself. This is a direct quote from this chapter. Within every individual partakes of the divine nature. It is an immutable law and unconditional love. I heard a story, and I'd like to share it with you because I think this is a story about faith, that this is where we start until we have the experience. We start with an idea and a willingness to practice. This is a story of a boy who he had polio at 3 years old, and his parents took him to the hospital and abandoned him. Because in those days, that meant that he wouldn't be able to work, et cetera, et cetera. So he was taken to live with this African-American family, and the matriarch of that family, who was living in the hut that her great-grandmother had lived in as a slave, now this was a free woman, was considered to be a very spiritual person. Everyone looked up to her, and everyone knew that she had the faith of God. She trusted God. So she took a liking to this child, and so she would go in, and every night she would massage his legs and pray with him and say to him, I know that God is healing. I'm doing my work. God should talk like that. I'm doing my work, and you do yours. This boy should walk again. And so she did that for years. And finally, one day, she said, I had a dream last night, and God told me that you can walk tomorrow. You're going to walk. So she got the boy, he's now 12, and stood him against a tree, took away his crutches and his braces. He was certain he was just going to fall down. And she took 12 steps back, and she said, now walk to me. God says you can do it. And he burst into tears. He was certain she was wrong. He never walked without the crutches or without the braces. And she just kept encouraging him, kept loving him, saying, power of God is moving through you right now, and you can do this. And he took one tentative step and the next step, and he got all the way to her, 12 steps away. He had never walked since he was 3 years old, by himself, unaided. And that was the beginning of a change in his life. This man became, as a teenager, he ran away and joined the circus, and then he became a reporter for a newspaper. He had quite a remarkable life, mostly because someone had faith that he was not his condition. And his condition was not going to limit him. Is there something that is handicapping you, that you're willing to let those crutches go today? It's never been the truth of you. It isn't now. It never will be. Let them go. Let them go. Let the thing itself be who you really are. Wayne Dyer, I posted on Facebook, and I hope you read it because it was a wonderful post. Wayne Dyer wrote a first-of-year post, and what he said was, don't make a resolution for the year. Make a resolution for 5 minutes. Resolve in these 5 minutes you're not going to smoke. Resolve in this 5 minutes you're not going to eat sugar. Whatever it is that you're resolving, don't trap yourself by putting it out so far and saying, well, I'll start tomorrow. Because you know that will never come. Start today. But do it in little increments. 5 minutes. And then at the end of 5 minutes, another 5 minutes. Not so hard, another 5 minutes, maybe an hour. Start today. The thing in itself is you. Last slide, please, Mary. When we end our prayers, we usually say, and so it is. Because what we're saying is, the word I've spoken is so true. I know that now it's true. Actually, the word amen means the same thing, but most of us don't know that, so it is more literal. I was listening to a minister, and he says, and so it is, and so I am, and so we are. Isn't that great? And so it is, and so I am, and so we are. And so at the end of my prayer, that's how I'm going to end it, and I invite you all to join me in that. So, Happy New Year, everybody. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I just take a deep breath of life. And what I know is that there is only one power, one presence, one life. That this life that is transcendent, that is beyond articulation, that is the creator of the entire universe, visible and invisible, this one is right where I am. It's imminent. It's right where I am. It's in me. It's through me. It's as me. It is the Christ awakening in me. It is the presence and power of God as spirit in me. It is those divine ideas that come to me in every moment. And this is what I know, and I speak this word in the first person for each one here and each one listening. I know that life is good, and life is for me. And so I cooperate with life by loving myself and the others in my life. I'm a magnet of God's love. And that means kindness. It means compassion. It means understanding. It means great, glorious wholeness and goodness. I am that I am. I speak this word for perfect wholeness, health, and vitality, that God's energy is running through every cell of my body, and it is good. It is perfect, whole, and complete. It is vital and youthful and knows nothing about older or younger. It knows only about itself as presence, as power. I know that I am that wholeness. I know that I am the abundance, the prosperity of this divine presence. And that prosperity is natural and normal, and money comes to me easily and effortlessly, and good of all kinds is already mine. I say yes to it. I say a greater yes than ever before, knowing that is a spiritual idea. Everything is good. Everything that's used for good is good. And so I know not only that, but I know that this power is the source of creativity. And so I know for myself that there's a wellspring of ideas that I drink deeply from. And those ideas become the grand and glorious life that I am, the good life that I am living, the life of the Christ within me. I know that every idea leads to a greater expression of that divine presence within. And I'm so grateful. What a glorious way to begin this year. What a glorious good thing to know that it is all God, to know that divine ideas are moving through me now. And I know that for everyone. And so with great, great gratitude, unspeakable joy, unspeakable gratitude, I simply release this word. I put it into the law. I let it be there. And let's say together, and so it is, and so I am, and so we are.